Hello and welcome to the Girls Fuel Podcast. My name is Haley. I'm a registered dietitian and nutrition coach here to help you along your health and fitness journey by providing evidence and experience-based knowledge, and as always, full transparency. So we have a lot to chat about today. It is just me. We are doing a solo episode for the first time in what feels like too long, but I just had to throw this topic into the flow of things on the Girls Fuel podcast, because it's something that I've been talking with so many women about, both my clients, those of you in the DMs, et cetera, about lately. And it's, you know, understanding what it means for your thyroid to be quote unquote normal or sluggish or atypical, right? Because something that I've been seeing a lot is, well, my TSH is really high, but my T3 and T4 are normal, but I have all of the symptoms of hypothyroidism, right? You know, the brain fog, the crippling low energy, the hair loss, the hair thinning, the inability to lose weight, anxiety, depression, constipation, irregular periods. There are so many things that are impacted by the thyroid, and that's what we're here to talk about today. So I'm going to kind of kick things off by talking about what is the job of our thyroid, right? We know, or most of us know, that our thyroid controls our metabolism, right? I like to think about it as our master regulator, though, because our thyroid hormones directly impact our metabolic rate, our temperature regulation, and everything related to essentially energy and heat in the body. They are significantly impacting so much more than just our metabolism, our ability to lose weight, right? The thyroid hormones impact vitally every organ system in the body: the heart, the central nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, our bones. Thyroid helps us fight osteoporosis, our gut, which we're going to talk a lot about in this episode, our liver, and our metabolism. So when it comes to, you know, our thyroid hormones, mainly when I'm talking about thyroid hormones, I'm talking about T4 and T3, T3 being the active hormone. They have binding receptors on all of these organ systems that we talked about that either increase or decrease the activity of each, right? So those thyroid hormones can either increase or decrease metabolic rate, thermogenesis, bone turnover, and so much more. So when we think about the thyroid, and I already mentioned, you know, our thyroid controls our energy, right? And every single process in the body regulates, or requires, I should say, energy. So our thyroid is super important for growth and development, especially in childhood. They regulate all cell functions, body temperature. That's why we see a lot of women have the common symptom of always being cold when their thyroid is on the slower side. They control our energy, metabolism, storage, usage, and in turn, our body weight. So we'll see, you know, usually people struggle with weight gain with hypothyroid and weight loss with hyperthyroid. The thyroid hormones impact brain maturation, and they regulate our focus, our mood, our reflexes, right? That nervous system piece there plays a role in why people have brain fog when thyroid function is sluggish, and why some people might feel super, super sharp and almost like anxious, jittery when thyroid hormone is higher. So what are some symptoms of thyroid dysfunction? Let's dive into that. And, you know, you might be listening to this and wondering, is something wrong with my thyroid? Or you might be thinking, you know, my doctor said that everything's normal, but my TSH is high, I don't feel great. So if you have some of these symptoms, you know, this might be a sign that something is really going on with your thyroid. Because like we're going to talk about thyroid labs, what I like to look at, what optimal ranges I believe are solid from that optimization standpoint, because we have to remember that Western medicine doctors, the way that they look at your blood work is going to be very, very different than how someone like myself, what I consider, you know, a functional and more holistic registered dietitian, is that I look at a lot of the values with a tighter range, right? Because yes, you know, those wider ranges that the doctors use that you'll see on your blood work, those are great in like a clinical setting, right? So if somebody is in the hospital because they have stage 2 kidney disease, or they have liver failure, or they, whatever, are in a traumatic event, we want those big ranges, because basically what the doctors want to know is, are they going to live or are they going to die? And I know that that sounds so morbid and obviously very, very much a simple oversimplification, because many doctors are great with blood work for like the general population. But anyway, I'm looking at it saying, okay, these are this person's goals. Maybe your goals are to look like you work out, be able to keep up with your kids, be able to crush it in the gym while working a full-time job, while being a strong female leader in your family, XYZ, whatever it is. I am looking at, well, who are you and what are your goals and what is going to be optimal for you? So that's where, instead of being normal, these functional ranges being a little tighter helps us focus on, okay, we want optimization. And I also feel like something that, I do a little bit differently is I look at your body as a whole, right? So I joke with everyone and I say, I probably say this way too often, but whenever I get a new client case, especially one that does have a lot going on, which is pretty similar to most of my clients these days, they may be struggling with GI issues, they may suspect thyroid issues, other autoimmune conditions, hormone issues, whatever. I feel like Dr. House, if you've seen the show House. If you haven't and you're into medical stuff, go watch it. He's kind of a huge jerk, but the show is just really freaking good. But anyway, House is like a practitioner. He's a doctor, but he is a diagnostician and he's supposed to be one of the best ever, whatever. And hard case, people send hard cases to him that nobody else can figure out. But anyway, obviously, I know that I am not the only one to figure out these cases, but I digress. It's just really fun to put the pieces together, right? So when I'm looking at your blood work, I'm talking to you, I'm asking you questions, I'm getting a detailed history, I'm looking at your current symptoms. But what about 10 years ago? How did this all start? To try to connect the dots to say, one, why is this happening? And two, what systems are involved? Which one's the biggest rock that needs to be managed first? And, how can we approach that in a way that not only makes you feel better, but improves your life along the way? So that was a kind of a side tangent about, me looking at labs a little bit differently. So that's where I get a lot of clients that come to me with, that textbook high TSH, but the doctor either doesn't run their T3, T4, or they do and they're normal. Why is that? And I'm jumping all around on this podcast, so hopefully you can keep up. This is how my brain works. It like squirrels from one thing to the next when I'm on my own here. So, but anyway, so our thyroid hormones, again, if we see that high TSH and, normal T3 or T4, and we have to remember TSH is thyroid stimulating hormone. It's produced in the pituitary to signal the thyroid gland to say, hey, we need you to produce more T3 and T4. Or sometimes it says, hey, we have enough, you can slow down production, right? So TSH being that key signaling hormone for the thyroid, it gets a signal from our hypothalamus. So we're going to start top to bottom, right? Hypothalamus is in our brain, and we have something called our hypothalamic pituitary thyroid axis, right? And that's basically all of the different organs that I just mentioned. So the hypothalamus produces a signaling hormone. It's called thyrotropin releasing hormone. And it comes down to the pituitary and it says, hey, we noticed that the blood is low in thyroid hormone. We need some more. So hypothalamus, tells the pituitary produce TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. So what does that do? TSH comes down and it stimulates the thyroid gland to produce mostly T4, because T4 is going to be activated into T3 and a little bit of that natural T3, which is our active thyroid hormone. The thyroid gland can also produce other hormones that I feel like aren't talked about nearly as much, but they are very, very important to look at, especially when we're trying to figure out why do you have thyroid dysfunction, right? So one of them is reverse T3. Reverse T3 is essentially the opposite of T3, right? So T3, remember, that's that active hormone. So we can think about T3 as the gas for your metabolism. And we can think about reverse T3 as the brakes, right? So when there's a stressor on the body, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that might mean in a second, there is a disruption in the feedback loop to the thyroid gland, right? So that's when stress is higher. What'll happen is the thyroid gland is almost unable to get the signal from TSH. So what happens? Thyroid hormones, T3 and T4, they're low in the blood, which comes up that feedback loop and tells the hypothalamus, hey, we don't have enough thyroid hormone. You got to start the whole thing, right? So then the hypothalamus signals the pituitary, and the pituitary is producing that TSH. So what happens with the blood work there is the hypothalamus is like, hey, there's still not enough in the blood. There's still not enough in the blood. Like, what's up? So then the pituitary is like, I got it. And it's cranking out TSH, and TSH is getting higher and higher, trying to essentially like shake the thyroid gland and be like, hey, like, wake up. We need this. But in periods, especially of stress, there are other things that cause this signaling issue. And usually stress is the big one though. In times of stress, and especially chronic stress, there's a loss of signal, right? TSH can scream at the thyroid gland all it wants. It can get higher and higher, but T3 and T4 are not going to be produced, usually because they are being impacted by cortisol. Or T4, instead, during stress, what's going to happen is TSH is going to come down. We're going to get to T4 from the thyroid gland, but then when stress is high, the T4 is going to be converted into reverse T3, which is the brakes, instead of active hormone T3. So when I'm looking at somebody's thyroid labs, when I see, you know, TSH is high, but everything else is normal, that's what I consider. And I'm not a doctor. This is not a medical diagnosis. This is just like my hypothesis, or this is anecdotally what it is, and what is very much talked about in the online coaching space, is subclinical hypothyroidism, right? So you're getting there. You're about to be hypothyroid, essentially, right? Because TSH, again, it's getting higher and higher because the signal isn't happening. T3, T4 aren't being produced. So over time, usually those active thyroid hormone T3 and then T4 in the blood, in blood work, will fall, right? And a lot of times doctors will wait for that to happen to intervene, even if TSH is 10 plus, right? Because an optimal TSH, the way I look at it, is between 1 and 2.5. Usually we start to see it rise and get above that 2.5. But again, you know, just because you're 2.7 doesn't mean you have hypothyroidism by any means. That's where looking at all of the blood work, all of the pieces together, is going to be key. But that's something that I see all the time. But, you know, just because you don't full on have hypothyroidism yet, it doesn't mean that you don't have some of these symptoms. And, you know, some of the signs and symptoms of hypothyroidism, coming full circle here with my tangent, are things that, you know, feel like we're slowing down, right? We think hypo means low. So systems are slowing down. Metabolic rate is slowing down. So that's where, you know, we might see weight gain or just the inability to lose weight. We'll see brain fog, maybe feeling fuzzy is something I've had my clients tell me a lot. Poor memory, because again, cognition is being impaired. Hair loss and thinning is probably the biggest one. And when I say hair loss, something that I see from a lot of my clients that come to me with thyroid issues is like a golf ball amount of hair every time you shower. So that is probably the biggest one that screams thyroid issue. Dry and coarse skin, thinning and brittle nails, constipation, or like needing a coffee or a laxative in order to poop. Irregular cycles, most common with slow sluggish thyroid, we see longer cycles, 35 days apart plus. Infertility, so thyroid issues, especially when we see Hashimoto's, can significantly impact the infertility, can impact, again, metabolic rate, weight loss, you can have headaches, and you know, that downregulation effect. And then hyperthyroidism, so a fast thyroid. Hyper meaning high, so we think speed up. And I honestly will say I do not see this very often, but it can be common, but that's where we'll see kind of the opposite. So instead of being cold all the time, increased sensitivity to heat, increased heart rate, nervousness, or that anxious feeling kind of wired, hand tremor, shakiness, irritability, ADHD is something that I see with a lot of these people going hand in hand, trouble sleeping or insomnia, weight loss, increased appetite, diarrhea. So kind of, again, the opposite. And then goiter, which is basically just like visible enlargement of the thyroid gland. It looks kind of like a hump around the throat. But again, that is not very common. So when we think about, well, what causes these thyroid issues? Like, why do you have them? There are a lot of things to consider, but I would say the most common, absolutely freaking most common cause of thyroid issues is going to be stress. We have something that is called our HPA axis. So that's going to be the hypothalamic pituitary axis, very similar to, adrenal. And that's very similar to what we talked about with the thyroid, the HPT axis. So when we have elevated levels of stress, and I'm going to keep this super simple. Our adrenal cortex produces cortisol, and cortisol acts on every system in the body, but it acts on the thyroid, and that's where we start to see that downregulation in thyroid hormones. So in practice, over the years, thyroid issues are one of the most common things that I've coached and that I see, just because unfortunately a lot of things in our lifestyle that we think are normal or healthy can cause that thyroid downregulation. So one of the bigger ones is going to be under eating chronically. So whether you're trying to diet, if you end up having some disordered eating, or if you just don't know how much to eat, and as a woman, that's super common. I was there for so long. We just fall into this pattern of not eating enough, and our body gets used to it. So that's why you might be thinking, well, I'm not hungry. Yeah, thyroid hormone is produced less, the metabolism is slowing down. So that's where your body suppresses hunger to a degree, because in a way it's stressed. It doesn't trust you. It is in a fight or flight state usually at that point. So, not eating enough is one of the biggest things. But, the other side of that, the good news is eating more is what helps your thyroid in most cases. Overexercising is another chronic stressor that I see a lot, but it can also be bigger than that. Work stress, and if you're not sleeping very much because you have sleep issues, because you can't fall asleep, because you're wired, maybe you have a newborn, which again, acutely you're going to be fine, but chronic insomnia, other things are going to be, blood sugar dysregulation. So other things that cause stress in the body will cause those thyroid levels to fall. And unfortunately, again, your doctor may not step in until all levels are kind of bottomed out. The other big one that I think more and more people hopefully, hear this and start asking to get tested are their thyroid antibodies. So Hashimoto's is an autoimmune condition, and it is actually the most common cause of thyroid issues. Hashimoto's causes hypothyroidism, right? So, what is Hashimoto's? Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease, and basically, what happens is your body thinks that it's under attack, your immune system. So, it's almost like your body, when you have a cold, it comes in and it creates antibodies to fight the cold. And that is fantastic. We want it to do that. That's great, right? It helps us feel better. But during Hashimoto's, this autoimmune state, the body creates antibodies against itself, against the thyroid gland. And again, that we could go down many rabbit holes as to why that happens. A lot of it is unfortunately genetic, but there's a lot that you can do, diet, lifestyle, all of that to support it. But anyway, so these antibodies are attacking the thyroid gland. What they're doing is they are attacking the thyroid peroxidase enzyme, which is directly involved in creating thyroid hormones. So then we have those thyroid peroxidase antibodies coming in, attacking TPO or thyroid peroxidase, and causing those levels to be higher in blood work. And that is, those are one of the things that doctors don't test for often. The other one is thyroglobulin. Ooh, mouthful. Thyroglobulin antibodies. And it's the same idea. They attack the thyroglobulin that's stored in your thyroid, and it impacts that feedback loop over time, decreasing levels of T4, T3. And we'll often see that increasing in that TSH because it's impacting the way the iodine is oxidized or broken down. Because we know that in order for T4 to be converted into its active hormone, T3, it needs to lose an iodine. So these two antibodies are related to autoimmune conditions, but you notice the attack, right? They're attacking the thyroid gland, which downstream is going to cause lower amounts of hormone production and hypothyroidism. So, testing for those antibodies is going to be key. Ideally, you have zero of both. You have no thyroglobulin, you have no TPO-Abs antibodies, but clinically, doctors will not consider you hypothyroidism unless they are quite high, usually. I've seen a bunch of different things. While I know what the clinical standard is, I've seen a lot from different clients. I've had clients who have them in the 300s. I've had clients that have them in the 30s, but ideally, they're as low as possible. The TPO-AB reference that I use is less than 9 IU per milliliter, but again, ideally zero. So making sure that you ask your doctors to test for these antibodies is going to be absolutely crucial in figuring out why your thyroid is downregulated. But outside of Hashimoto's, because again, Hashimoto's on its own is going to cause a lot of the symptoms. It's going to cause the pure inability to lose weight. Because when we have those antibodies that are high, and this goes true for most autoimmune conditions, the body is in a state of stress. And that's the part that's hard because you may not realize it right away. But that's where, looking out for just getting these on your routine labs is just rule of thumb. The only time I'm really on a client like test your antibodies is if they have thyroid symptoms or other thyroid labs that are off. But making sure that you get those in reverse T3 are going to be huge. Another thing that is very, very heavily involved in thyroid hormone health and regulation is going to be your gut. So when we have a GI issue, our gut microbiome is impacted in a lot of ways that, vice versa, downstream impact the thyroid gland. One of them is leading to micronutrient deficiencies. So when your gut health isn't great, when your gut is impaired, you are not able to properly absorb your food. And for those of you that have gut issues, I'm sure you can kind of feel the symptoms of that. That's where we'll often see bloating, we'll see constipation, maybe food in the stool, diarrhea frequently, pain in indigestion, heartburn, all of these things. When your gut is having an issue, especially when we see that gut dysbiosis or, bacteria overgrowth, it's really common in thyroid disorders because that alters the immune system, producing an immune response, right? Promoting inflammation, reducing the immune tolerance. So that's where sometimes antibodies can be produced and people will even have issues with gluten. Damage to the intestinal lining is going to lead to the same thing. Lots of exposure to antigens. So that's where, the gut is always first. Whenever somebody comes to me with thyroid issues and gut issues, I'm always like, we got to fix your gut to fix everything. And that's why I take a very gut-centered approach to where the gut is everything. But so, we might see micronutrient deficiencies, and we have to remember that everything that's produced in our body uses vitamins and minerals. We don't just tell you to take it because, it makes you, it's quote healthy, right? It impacts everything. So some of the vitamins and minerals that the thyroid needs in order to produce hormone are going to be iron and iodine, selenium and zinc. We want to think about B vitamins. Magnesium is another big one, but vitamin D, but mostly the minerals that are impacted in the gut, and lead to decreased conversion from T4 to T3. So that's a big part of it. And again, if somebody has dysbiosis, SIBO, H. pylori, or the symptoms of it, that dysregulation in the gut is going to impact the immune system. It's also just going to impact how thyroid hormones are circulated because the gut has a direct connection to neurotransmitter production and all of that. Another question while we're talking about the gut that I get a lot is, do I have to avoid gluten if I have a thyroid issue, specifically Hashimoto's? And while I'll say I do have a lot of my Hashimoto's clients avoid gluten, at least while their antibodies are high. Once we get them down and into a healthy place and they're feeling better, we may trial gluten and just see how they feel because everybody's different. It's not the same approach or solution for everybody. So I assess each client individually and we find the approach that works best for them, whether it's completely avoiding gluten, whether it is having it sometimes or, finding that tolerable amount. But a lot of times when we have Hashimoto's or even Graves' disease, the other thyroid autoimmune disease, they often occur with celiac. So celiac is that an autoimmune condition that makes your body unable to tolerate gluten, wheat, and it, especially when you don't know and you continue eating gluten, it triggers inflammation in the body, but especially in the GI tract. It can damage the intestinal barrier, increase intestinal permeability, and again, trigger that immune reaction. So that's where, when somebody's body is flared up, when your gut health is not great, you have dysbiosis, your intestinal lining is impaired, you are just going to be more at risk for even developing autoimmune conditions or worsening them. So again, fix the gut first, always. So that's one of the big ones. So as far as other considerations, other things that I'll check in my client's blood work to just make sure that all systems are processing the right way and we know when we need to really drive which to help the thyroid, are going to be, iron panel. We want to see, are they anemic? Do they have enough iron? Because again, that impairs hormone production, but also that can tell us about how the body's handling stress. Other inflammatory markers like CRP, homocysteine, we want to look everything at everything blood sugar related. So fasting blood glucose, A1C, sometimes insulin is always a big one. Nutrients, we obviously want to check iron. I already mentioned that. Vitamin D3, B12, folate. I basically look for any vitamin and mineral deficiencies that I can. And then just the rest of the basics are perfect, right? Run your CBC, your CMP, that will show us liver enzymes as well. And then cholesterol, right? Because it's all connected. Fixing your thyroid requires a multi-system approach. So let's kind of talk about, well, how do I fix my thyroid? Like, I know you're probably like, well, great, Haley, you told me a lot of things, but like, what the hell do I do with it? So, the first thing is going to be taking a step back and assessing, well, what am I doing now? Right? Because I find, probably heard me say this before if you listen to the podcast, I find the biggest thing that usually needs improvement in a lot of women that I work with is the diet first. Usually I have clients, they're coming to me eating pretty healthy, but they're not eating enough calorie wise. And we already talked about how, our thyroid is directly responsible for our metabolic rate. So one of the best and easiest ways to support your thyroid to get it upregulated to help hormone production is to eat enough calories. And I know that that can be scary because you're like, well, Haley, I'm already gaining weight because my thyroid took a shit. Like, I don't want to eat more. Like, I can't eat more. And it is so scary, right? So that's where working with a coach, it can be honestly probably the best way to do it, just because I feel like a lot of people won't do it unless they have one, the accountability, and two, just like the trust that, that you know what you're doing. So the way I approach it with a client is we do what's called a reverse diet. And honestly, the majority of my girls that come to me, we start with this because again, it's hard to believe, but I would say over the last like 5, 6 years I've been doing this, 95% of the women that come to me wanting to change their body, wanting to lose fat, undereat. They just don't eat enough. And that's part of the reason why things get downregulated, but we won't dive too deep down that rabbit hole for now. So first thing that you'll do is, a reverse diet. So we'll take a look at, well, how are you eating now? What foods are you eating? How many calories, carbs, protein, fat? Or we'll keep it simple and not focus too much on the macros at first, just depending on where you're at. But with that, I want to get to know your lifestyle. How often do you eat out? How often do you want to eat out? So that way, together, we can find an approach to nourishing your body that not only feels good, but feels safe. So it's not too stressful and we go really slow. So, I will meet you where you're at with your calories and we'll increase slightly and I'll educate you around, why I'm making the increases that I am, how you can put those things into practice, how you can add things that you like and that will help you build balanced meals to your diet. And that'll just take some time. While we're doing that, I will usually throw in some vitamin and mineral support. We already talked about how important having sufficient amounts of iron, iodine, zinc, selenium, B vitamins, magnesium, especially vitamin D3, all of these things are going to directly impact our thyroid hormone's ability to make hormones. So usually, depending on the client, depending on their specific blood work, if we have it, my supplements are always very specific and, dietary recommendations there as well. If you know that you need more selenium and, to kind of help you understand why I'm mentioning all these vitamins and minerals, selenium. So selenium is a trace mineral, trace element, trace mineral that has many roles in the body. It helps with reproduction. So having a baby, thyroid hormone, DNA, et cetera. But the big aspect of it with thyroid hormone is it helps the conversion of T4 to T3. So selenium you can get from your diet. The easiest way to get it from your diet is usually going to be Brazil nuts, but you cannot eat like a whole fistful of nuts or a whole trail mix of Brazil nuts, because they are very, very, very high in selenium, which is freaking cool because we can use food instead of a pill. But typically, with my girls that are having thyroid issues, depending again on their other supplements, their medications, always, always check with your doctor or dietitian before adding something new. Usually, I'll start around 1,000, 100, 100 micrograms of selenium per day that you could get from one to two Brazil nuts. So that's often where I'll start. I'll start with some functional foods. We'll also want to support liver detox. So making sure that you're pooping daily, making sure that you're digesting your food, making sure that things are being processed and excreted out of the body, because having, a sluggish liver is going to impact hormones as well. So usually some signs and symptoms of having a sluggish liver, and I don't want anybody to overthink this or, think just because one day you felt this way, because I can definitely be hard on myself with my symptoms too, but I'm just trying to hopefully educate. But fatigue's a big one, brain fog, headaches. Other things are going to be mucus in your stool, maybe pain on the right side, because that'll show your liver and gallbladder aren't doing a good job with bile, frail or thinning or frail or thinning hair and nails are other big ones, because again, our liver is very key in absorbing fat soluble vitamins, especially. And then just really horrible cycles is another common one, because estrogen dominance is a big issue with liver issues and can coexist with thyroid issues as well. So, supporting liver detox is usually something super simple. We'll change your own food choice a little bit. We'll add in some tea, like dandelion tea, sometimes a supplement, sometimes not. And then, while we're supporting the body, while we're starting to eat more, we're also digging into, education of like why your body needs to eat this much, why these nutrients are important, and how you can continue supporting your body through every phase. So from there, we want to know why this is happening. Is it Hashimoto's? Is it just chronic stress, under eating, all of that? Is it a digestive issue? Is it a liver issue? So once we know exactly what's going on, and usually that's looking at blood work and getting a good grasp on symptoms, we start chipping away at that big rock. Right. And usually all of this is going down in the first 1 to 2 months of working together. And that's where, I do have a lot of clients that come to me and work with me for 6 to 9 plus months. And I notice, with all of them, people ask me this all the time. Well, when do I start feeling better? Usually within the first month, you're going to start feeling better. In the second month, you're going to feel well, even better. And you'll usually start to see more and more body comp changes, because simply getting healthy internally can change your body. So that's where, I did a talk on this at an event a couple weekends ago about the concept of getting healthy doesn't always start with weight loss, right? Because for somebody especially that has a sluggish thyroid, a deficit, one, isn't going to help you lose weight, and two, it's going to make everything worse. It's going to downregulate your thyroid further. It might cause weight gain, it might cause worsening of symptoms. But that's where, getting a big history as a coach is the biggest thing. Like, understand, when did your client diet last and for how long? What was their young adult or even childhood like? Did they have trauma? Do they have celiac? Do they have medications that are causing nutrient depletions, right? So those are some of the big rocks. But now let's kind of talk about, well, what can I do today to help my thyroid? Biggest thing is figuring out what's going on. But when we think about some like simple coaching strategies, I always start with your lifestyle. So a couple of like the big rocks that I would say, take a look at your lifestyle, be honest with yourself, and like, are you doing or not doing these things now? So one of them, I already harped on this, I probably nailed it into the ground for you, is eating enough. And if you're not sure where to start, start nice and slow. Usually I get protein around body weight a little lower. And then I will make sure that we're slowly increasing carbs and fat from there. But if you do need help, hiring a coach is probably going to be the best way to go about that in a way that's not going to stress you the hell out. But then the other part of it is meal timing. Please stop fasting. Ladies, in general, all of you, please stop fasting, especially if you have hormone issues, especially if you have hormone issues, because that just tells your body, hey, you're not getting fed, you're unsafe. Spike cortisol, dump cortisol on everything, lower thyroid hormones, et cetera, that whole rabbit hole, right? So anything that we can do to reduce stress on the body is going to be key. So maybe, that is eating more frequently throughout the day to balance blood sugar. Maybe that is prioritizing breath work in the day to get yourself out of that fight or flight state. Maybe that is journaling and doing a brain dump to help get everything out of your brain, get your to-do list off your brain before you go to bed the night before. Maybe it's food quality, and that's where we really need to make sure, you're getting minimums of the fruits and veggies, especially those that are going to help with your detox systems, with your thyroid hormone production. Usually for Hashimoto's especially, but even with hypothyroidism, the big rocks for diet are going to be mainly whole foods. I've had people that I talked to in the DMs talk to me and be like, well, the only time I could fix my thyroid is if I went carnivore, or if I completely avoided carbs, or if I completely avoided this. And that's just not the approach that I believe in. In some cases, is that necessary? Yes, but it is like 1 in 100, and that may sound dramatic, but usually, a whole food approach is all you need. 90% whole foods, make it Mediterranean style, focus on healthy fats, focus on all of the color that you can get, focus on higher quality meats and proteins, and make sure you're getting your essential nutrients. And then that's where, gluten-free is often helpful, especially just during that initial phase where we're really trying to just repair any damage with the GI lining. We're trying to give your body a break with things that are harder to digest. But outside of that, I always say, 90-10, 90% of the time, eat things that you know are good for your body, that are whole food, that give you nutrients that you still enjoy, because you should enjoy your food. And then 10% of the time, like, still enjoy that meal out, still enjoy that ice cream cone or whatever it is, right? So when it comes to hypothyroidism specifically, a lot of it is going to be lifestyle driven. A lot of it is going to be a very, very customized, specific approach to managing your stressors, defining what foods feel good for you and what don't, replacing essential vitamins and minerals that might not be in high enough quantities, and then additional immune support may be needed, just depending on other symptoms. When it comes to Hashimoto's, it's a lot of those same ideas while also figuring out what other systems need support. I'll also usually add some sort of bovine glandular to help protect the thyroid gland from those antibodies and get that storm under control. Here, immune system support is needed because we have to remember that if you're having antibodies being produced, whatever it is, whether it's Hashimoto's, whether it's Graves, whether it's lupus, whether it's Raynaud's, whatever it is, if you are having antibodies, that is your body attacking itself, right? So we need to do something to calm that storm and also put it into remission, which you can do. You can. And if you're someone that has Hashimoto's and it's impacting your other thyroid numbers and you're having hypothyroidism, I'll always attack Hashimoto's first. We'll support other systems just to make sure everything is able to process correctly. And then we'll get those antibodies down like ASAP Rocky. That is order of business number one. And again, I hate to make it sound so simple because I know that it's not for most people, but if you work with me, it is, because it is not this like $1,000 protocol. It is not changing your whole entire life. It is just making, for most people, it is just making some small changes and understanding how to support your body's systems, right? So, if you're a coach and you're listening to this, like, that's definitely something that's very important to understand is, it's great that you can see in your client's labs, like, hey, you have a thyroid issue, your thyroid labs are off, but you need to understand why. Because if you don't, you're just going to keep throwing a certain like thyroid supplement at them, wondering why nothing is changing, right? So it's very important to understand the big picture and to be able to connect the dots. Additional considerations for healing your thyroid, again, always, always, always check your antibodies. Hashimoto's is the most common cause of hypothyroidism. Assess your adrenal and GI function. So, is your cortisol really high? Are you fight or flight? Are you waking up in the middle of the night at 2, 3 a.m.? Are you feeling anxious all the time? Because if so, if your cortisol is high, that has to be addressed first. Same with if it's a GI issue, right? And usually, there are things that we can do that cross all things off the list, right? They support your gut, they support your adrenals, they support your thyroid, right? So I don't want you to think that you have to do all of these things separately. And then, you want to support your thyroid via your diet. Eat enough to support your thyroid. Think it's like putting gas in a car. If you remember, we talked about the gas versus the brake, the active T3 versus the inactive reverse T3, right? You got to fill your gas tank. You got to fill your damn gas tank. And I know it's scary. I know it's scary to eat more. Trust me, I lived in that place for years where I was petrified to even increase my carbs by 15 grams because I didn't know what was going to happen. So, if you're not in a place where you can afford coaching, definitely feel free to reach out. I do free audits where I'll look at your labs. I'll look at, what you're doing now and just give you a couple free tips to get things started and just open up the conversation. So that's really all it has to be is just a little bit more education. But when it comes to, eating enough, try something for 2 weeks, right? Because I know how it can feel to eat like 25, 50 grams more carbs one day, and then the next day wake up and your weight's up and you're like, oh my God, nope, gotta take these carbs out. So if you're somebody that gets stressed about the scale, one, I'm gonna recommend taking a little break from it. I don't mean for forever, but I mean you be the judge if you can step on it. If you wake up in the morning and you're feeling some type of way, you're a little fluffy, you're a little irritable, and you know that stepping on that scale is not going to help you, don't do it. Do not do it. You are the only one that can decide. And you know that that scale number fluctuates. You know that it does. So there's no point in stressing yourself out and seeing that, right? So anyway, do some, make a change and stick with it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. If you do your progress pictures, that's great. If you are using other data points, like your energy, like your bowel movements, et cetera, do that for 2 weeks before you change anything, before you go up or down, right? So that way you can make more of an objective and subjective move for what's next, right? Make sure that your sleep quality is solid. And by that, I mean, you know, you're sleeping ideally at least bare minimum 7 hours, but ideally, you know, 8 to 9 hours most nights, without issue. Meaning, you know, your mind isn't racing before you fall asleep. Your heart isn't racing before you fall asleep. You're not waking up in the middle of the night 100 times to pee. You know, once or twice is normal. That's really normal, but you can go back to sleep pretty easily. You wake up refreshed, et cetera. That's like quality sleep to me. And I struggle with sleep forever, so I can tell you what sucks and what doesn't. Caffeine intake is another consideration. Caffeine is one of those things that it's we love it, it's simple, and it adds to our stress bucket sometimes. So that's where, you know, take a look at how many cups of coffee you're having, and if you can, go half-half with all of them. That's what I did. Over the years, I have successfully weaned from like probably like 800 plus milligrams of caffeine to maybe 30 to 40 per day. And I can tell you that it has helped so many ways, especially, you know, my anxiety being a big one, but also just looking at my own labs, this is the healthiest, you know, my sex hormones, my estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, thyroid hormones, gut, all of these things has ever been. And, you know, the biggest takeaway with my tangent about my journey right now is the healthiest and best I ever felt was when I wasn't necessarily hyper-focused on, you know, one certain physique change. And I think it's really cool because I've seen a lot of women come to me lately, and yes, weight loss is one of their goals. Looking a certain way is one of their goals. And I'm telling you, I want you to have those goals because that is awesome. But their main goal right now is to fix their internal issues, is to get healthy, to truly feel healthy, right? Feel healthy. And when I say feel healthy, I mean like 99% of the days, 98, we'll say 98, but a lot of times that can be easier said than done. So anyway, when it comes to getting a good understanding of what's going on with your thyroid, you're going to want to look big picture. So you're going to want to look at all different aspects of your blood work, all different aspects of your body and systems, and see how they're processing. See where your body needs some love. Take a look under the hood, and also nourish your body, fuel your body, because again, especially for thyroid issues, but really for any time we have a hormonal issue, whether it's adrenal, whether it's sex hormone, fuel is essential. Calories are essential. Calories are our gas in our gas tank. The nutrients that come from eating enough are essential, right? So that's the other big one. When it comes to exercise intensity, it will really depend on where you're at. I always tell my clients, it depends on the individual, but typically I will pull out all high intensity training and stick with no more than 3 to 4 training days per week. You can still strength train and be a badass, but that's where, you know, I'll usually make some changes to programming. So instead of focusing on, you know, hitting a PR every time, getting as strong as possible, or doing as many reps or moving as quickly as possible, we slow down and focus on mind muscle connection. Do we drive intensity through contractions, through different rep counts, through different intensifiers that don't add too much stress. They just add the right amount of stress in order for us to heal and also do the things that we love, right? So a lot of this is going to be individualized, but the biggest thing that I hope that you take from this is please support the shit out of your body. If there is one thing that you do today, this week, this month, this year, it is support your body. That will help you achieve literally every single goal that you could dream of. So I hope that you found this helpful. If you're struggling with thyroid issues, know you're not alone. You're not alone and you're not doomed either. I hope that you at least learn from this podcast that there's a lot that you can do besides waiting for it to get bad enough to need medication, right? So if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, please save it, share it. Let me know that you are listening because it makes it a lot more fun for me knowing who I'm talking to when I'm recording these, quite literally talking to myself. But until next time, thank you so much for hanging out with me.